You got it tuned to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday. This week, we are exploring a mystery: maternal deaths in Texas. The state has the highest maternal mortality rates in the U.S. In fact, it's on par with countries like Uzbekistan. Today, KUT Austin's Ashley Lopez takes a look at what Texas has done so far and how lessons from states that have successfully reduced their maternal death rates just might be applied here.
Donna Kreuzer has been trying to stop mothers from dying for years now. It's personal. Her daughter, Christy, had a history of depression. So when she got pregnant about 8 years ago, postpartum depression was something that Kreuzer was looking out for.
We openly talked about it, and I thought that everything was all up and up, and we all had somewhat of a plan.
Postpartum depression is one of the most common complications following a pregnancy. It affects about 1 in 6 new mothers in Texas. But Kreuzer says Christy kept her symptoms a secret.
She did not want to turn our focus of total jubilation and joy after finally having our first grandbaby. She didn't want us to focus on her problem, so she kept it a secret for 8 weeks.
Christy was on a business trip in San Antonio when she finally said something. Kreuzer had come along to help babysit.
She came through the hotel door, and a mama always knows. The look on her child's face was telling me something's deathly wrong here. And she came, and she came forthright telling both her husband and I that she had been suffering with postpartum depression since day 3 of our grandbaby's life.
Kreuzer says her family and friends immediately stepped in to help. She saw a mental health counselor, doctors. She had people supporting her. But even with all that help, Christy took her own life. She was 36.
I'm sort of the belief now, although I don't know that I will ever know the true reason, but I have to think that the delay in intervention was playing a major part in her inability to recover.
Kreuzer has been keeping pressure on state lawmakers to improve screening and access to mental health care for mothers who need it. So far, the state has been slow at coming up with ways to curb maternal deaths. When I talked to Kreuzer last summer, she says she was happy about a Medicaid screening law that was going into effect.
It's a baby step. We're moving in the right direction. We're moving forward, but we still need to do more.
As lawmakers look at more ways to address the state's maternal mortality crisis, experts have pointed to California, which cut its rate of maternal deaths by half in just a few years. I learned some important lessons when I went to see what they did. The first, acknowledge there's a problem and find smart people to fix it. This is something that Texas has at least started to do.
I'm Dr. Lisa Ollier. I'm a professor at Baylor College of Medicine and the chair of the Texas Maternal Mortality and Morbidity Task Force.
The task force she mentioned was put together by the state legislature when public health officials started noticing a serious problem. The task force meets quarterly to review data about maternal deaths and figure out what happened. For now, the group is mostly researchers and medical professionals. So far, they have found pregnant women in Texas are dying from cardiac issues, drug overdoses, hypertension, hemorrhage, sepsis, homicide, and suicide. Which brings me to the second lesson I learned in California: get good data. But Ollier found it's hard to get good maternal death data in Texas. In fact, a new report released early this year found Texas has some very serious data issues, which includes overcounting some maternal death statistics.
I was not surprised to see this report.
Ollier says she's seen evidence of both undercounting and overcounting in some cases. However, she says things could improve. Lawmakers recently passed a few bills addressing some of those issues. Which leads to lesson 3. Use that data to figure out what to fix. We have at least a snapshot of what's killing mothers in Texas. Ollier says she's working on a program that would put together what are called safety bundles in hospitals around the state. They're similar to California's toolkits, but not exactly the same.
Speaking as a retired healthcare executive, I would feel a lot more comfortable that my moms are getting safe care when they show up if I had in place the California toolkits.
Ted Fox is a retired hospital CEO. He says the safety bundles are a good start, but California's toolkits are just better. He says they cover everything.
From what supplies to have on hand, what equipment to have available, how to recognize the symptoms, what the roles are of the different folks, how they need to respond, and in what order.
Fox says they're incredibly useful and readily available to anyone right now.
That's something we could do, but we're not doing it. And I guess I don't understand that.
But there are some hospitals in Texas that decided on their own to use California's toolkits.
Hey, Carrie, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
This is Melissa Benson. She's a director of nursing for women's services over at the Children's Hospital of San Antonio. This labor and delivery ward is pretty new. Benson is keeping an eye on a few patients giving birth here.
So this is a sound we hear quite often in this department. Baby doing very well.
This new delivery ward's OBGYN in chief is Dr. Peter Nielsen. He's building a department from the ground up, literally. There are parts of the ward still under construction. And already, Nielsen has started incorporating the California toolkits into the ward's procedures.
Much of their work, much of the CMQCC's work, we've adopted here.
Nielsen says when he heard about the toolkits and how well they are doing in California, he thought a hospital in Texas would be a good place to use them. And he says at first, getting hospitals to give this kind of thing a shot isn't easy.
Healthcare is a system. And unless you engage the system and you engage the culture of the people in the system, it's really hard to change behaviors.
Nielsen says so far he's seen good results with the toolkits. Keeping track and collecting data is an important part of how to improve things too, he says.
The ability to make changes is directly affected by your ability to measure what it is you want to change. And so you have to measure it constantly. You have to report back to yourselves as a group. And you have to hold everyone accountable together.
Accountability. That's the final lesson I learned in California. And by the way, this is where Texas has the most work to do. I talked to Stephanie Teleki about this. She's with the California Healthcare Foundation. Her group gave California's Maternal Mortality Collaborative a bunch of money to build a public database that holds hospitals accountable for things like C-section rates. And here's something that jumped out at me about how it got built.
This was not a government-led initiative.
In other words, you don't have to wait for politicians to make this happen.
This was really smart people at who understand data and understand the need for it to be low burden, low cost, coming together to create this data center that lives completely outside of government.
Everyone I talk to says improving things in Texas will require hospitals, the government, and community leaders to work together. If one is left out, Teleki says, maternal deaths are going to be hard to prevent.
This is not a solvable problem by one entity. You know, it's all of these different things together. And I think that's what has been unique in California is sort of the degree to which we've been able to kind of come together around this topic.
Dr. Lisa Ollier, the leader of the state's Maternal Mortality Task Force, says she's at least starting to see different groups come together and acknowledge something needs to be done. In Austin, I'm Ashley Lopez.
Tomorrow, we'll hear about one factor in maternal deaths that no one's figured out how to fix: discrimination.